We deal with principle when we deal with absolute. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy here in Campbell, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. We deal with principle when we deal with absolute. I'm always amused at people who are so excited about dealing with absolute. They want to get in the absolute, thinking that that is the end and all for everything good in their life, and that all of the human difficulties and the human frailties and the human faults fall away when you're dealing with the absolute. Well, that's true, they do. When you are in absolute awareness, from a very high level of awareness, you are unaware of human frailties and human problems and human circumstances. They just don't touch you. And they don't touch you not because they're not there, but they don't touch you because you're not there. You're not in the awareness of the frailties. You're not in the awareness of people feeling unhappy with themselves. You're not in the awareness that the world has problems. You're not in the awareness that there are circumstances that are unkind and improper and not nice going on somewhere in the world. And you see, you say, well, how can you even say you're unaware of whatever those things are? Well, because you're talking in a human way. Now, if you're a master, Napoleon's wife, Josephine, and what was it she said when the people were hungering and they were begging at the palace door for food and so forth because they were so bereft of food? And she said, well, if they don't have bread, let them eat cake. Now, you see, when you are of the high consciousness of cake, for instance, and you don't think about anything other than that, naturally, well, then eat your cake if you haven't got bread. Everyone has cake. I mean, I have cake, she says, you know, and so everyone has cake. Because she looked at everything from that point of view. She looked at everyone from that point of view. Even though the bells were ringing and the... Sounds like we have all these little interruptions that come in here, don't we? And the interruption that we just had was a friend who called from Switzerland, and she loves to call and chat, and she loves to call and chat at mealtime. And we really don't know this lady. We've never met her. We've never had occasion to deal with her. She's not one of our students. She just calls and wants to say some pleasantries and have someone to talk to. And we have to tell her that we are a school here. We are a business. When people call here, they call because they have specifics on their mind. We are not a chit-chat organization, but maybe we are. Maybe that's what we have developed by talking to people about nothingnesses. They have nothing to ask us. If they wanted treatment, wow, we're right there. If they wanted love, wow, we're right there. If they wanted understanding, wow, we're right there. But if they just want to tell us their problems and tell us on the things that are going on in their world and the little pleasantries and unpleasantries that are going on in their world, that's not where we are. If we're going to live in absolute consciousness, we have to create people calling us in absolute consciousness. Now, how do we go about doing that? Well, we go about doing that by not being relative ourselves. When we talk to people and they want to tell us about their headaches and their heartaches, we say, just a minute, what would you like to experience? What is the experience that is important to you? Would you like everything to be in divine order? Would you like to be living in a happy household, in a happy world? Then let's start building with happy consciousness and happy attitudes. And so then they say, well, what about this and what about that? No. What about you looking at them and saying, I surround you with my pure white light of love? When you go to the hospital and you look at the problem that you're facing, the disease or the illness or the broken bones, you don't say, this is forever and it is terminal and it is the end. If you say that, why go to the hospital? Go right to the graveyard, you know, dig a hole and jump in. But no, that really isn't your intention. You want to live. So rather than going to the hospital, thinking of yourself as terminal, or thinking of yourself as having an illness that has no solution, go there and say, all is in divine order. All is in divine order. If you choose to go to the hospital, say, all is in divine order. Say that the doctors who work on me are guided to do the right thing in the right way, and all is in divine order, and all is in divine order. And then you go to the hospital, and they look at you, and they say, man, we've done scans on you, and we've done everything. There's nothing wrong with you. And you, but I don't feel good. Well, change your attitude. Change your attitude. But I don't feel good. I got this. Yes, if you have a tummy ache, you say, I'm whole and perfect. And you walk around lifting up your chin, lifting up your head, eating the proper foods, doing the things that you feel are right for you. And all foods are proper. It's just that you think some foods are improper and you're eating them, and so therefore they're giving you a bad response. You think that eating yogurt is not good for you because you're lactose intolerant and you have these problems. You can't drink milk and you can't eat yogurt and you can't do this and you can't do that. Well, stop it. We had these children come up to campus at one point, and they were trained by their parents to feel that there were certain things that they couldn't eat, and certain things that their father didn't like, certain vegetables and stuff. And we said to them, my gosh, up here on campus, up in the mountain, all that food is so perfect and so beautiful and so wonderful. It's a whole new taste. And so we got them to eat it. We got them to taste it. And before you know it, they loved it. And they ate and they drank milk by the gallons. They loved it. And they couldn't stand the sun because they had reddish complexion and reddish hair. And we told them that the sun up there doesn't burn. It just gently tans you. And they were out all day long in the sun for weeks on end, just turning brown as bears and untouched by these things. It's attitude. It's mental attitude. And so you wonder where the absolute is. Well, the absolute is when you start being the master of yourself. You start being the master of your consciousness and your attitudes and what you want. And you don't get yourself into any garbage. Now, we had a telephone call this evening from a gentleman who wanted to get some money for us for because we are a nonprofit corporation and we are this and that and the other thing. And instead of saying no to him at the first time, we said, well, how do you go about it? What is it all about? We should always just say no. When people gave us a donation or a contribution, it's without strings. And it's done. And we don't have to work on it and send in papers, and we don't have to file for applications for these contributions and so on. No way. If our tradition, if our work, if our ability doesn't stand up for itself and give people the information that they need to make contributions to the university and to the monastery and so forth, then we don't want it. We don't want it because then there's strings. Then there's strings. One woman said to me one time, she says, I'd love to marry you. And I said, well, I'm really not the marrying kind. She said, I'd love to marry you. And I said, I would be a terrible husband because I am never home and I wouldn't be anywhere around. I said, you do me a great honor by saying you'd like to marry me. She said, well, I'll give you all my millions. You know, she had millions of dollars. She was a wealthy lady. And she just liked my charisma and she liked me. And so she wanted to marry me. And I said, golly Moses, you know, you certainly are intriguing, but no way. No thank you. No way. I'm sure there's some beautiful, handsome man that would love to marry you and love to be partners with you on all of your dreams and all of your money-spending propositions. So you just keep looking and you'll find the right person. And but, you know, I don't want to be tied up to somebody and use somebody else's money for this. Whatever comes to the university comes as a donation of a generous heart that wants us to continue with the work we're doing, with the correspondence courses that we're providing, with the scholarships that we're offering to students around the world. And yes, we have a lovely house. We have a lovely place that we live in. We are very careful. We take good care of it. And we built it 30 years ago. And it is standing up just like brand new because we love it. And we are taking care of the responsibilities and the gifts that we have. Now, when you're living in absolute, you're not looking for tomorrow. You're not looking for the past. You're just living in the now and delightfully enjoying every experience that happens right now, right this instant. And when that happens to you, you are the happiest person alive, because there is nothing that says to you that you're touched by something that's beautiful, or that you are... we have a friend who stopped up the other day, and he was not one-pointed. He was into 12 different operations at once, and as his son had multi-corporate organizations that he owned and he ran, and none of them were making him any money at the moment, because the finances just weren't doing it. And he was possessed by them, and he was judging them and thinking that they had to be whatever they were. Now, we don't do that. We don't do that. We let go and let the divine in us direct us to whatever it is that is for our highest and our best. And that's where we are now, that's where we were yesterday, and that's where we'll be forevermore. And so it is. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.